गिरीवरदारी जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रज जनरञ्जन जय यशोदानन्दन जय यवजन जन जय यशोदानन्दन जयो व्रज जनरञ्जन जय जय व्रज जनरञ्जन जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रज जनरञ्जन नन्दन जय व्रज जनरञ्जन जय यमुना तीरवनचारे कुञ्ज बिहारी जय यमुना तीरवनचारे जय कुञ्ज बिहारी जय यमुना तीरवनचारे जय कुञ्ज बिहारी जय यमुना तीरवनचारे जय कुञ्ज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे श्री 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 हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। I seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas here so that I can say something on this exalted topic. Firstly, for my own purification, and also that all of us can derive some benefit out of this. Hare Krishna. Narayanam Namaskrityam नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तथोजयं मुदीरया नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Canto 10, Chapter 3, which is entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna, and Sloka number 52 and 53. 53 is on the board. I will read 52, the sloka and the translation, and then we will chant Sloka 53. Sloka 52. देवक्या शायने न्यासा वासुदेवोथा दरिकाम प्रतिमुच्या पदोर्लोहम आस्ते पूर्ववाद अवृतहा। वासुदेव प्लेस द फीमेल चाइल्ड ऑन द बेड ऑफ देवकी बाउंड हिज लेग्स विथ द आयरन शैकल्स एंड दस रिमेन्ड देयर एज बिफोर। टेक्स्ट 53। यशोदा नंद पत्नी चा जातं परम अबुद्यता नातल्लिंगं परिश्रंता निद्रयापगता स्मृति। यशोदा नंद पत्नी चा जातं परम अबुध्यता नातल्लिंगं परिश्रंता निद्रयापकदा स्मृति। यशोदानंद पत्नी च जातं परम अबुध्यता नातल्लिंगं परिश्रंता निद्रापकता स्मृति। सुनंदा बगीचा नातं परम अबुध्यता नातं लिंगं परिश्रंता नात्रयापकता यशोदानंद पत्नी चा नातं परम अबुध्यता लिंगं परिश्रंता नात्रया प्रगतिर्स्मितुता। यशोदानंद पत्नी चा नातं परम अबुध्यता मातं लिंगं परिश्रंता निद्रयापगता शिशि। यशोदानंद पत्नी च नातं परम अबुध्यता मातं लिंगं अबुध्यता असगता स्तुतिः। यशोदानंद पत्नी च नातं भारत बुध्यता विद्यायात्मकतात्मिति। यशोदानंद पत्नी च नातं भारत बुध्यता नातं लिंगं परिश्रांता निद्रायापगता स्मृतिः। माताजी नंद पत्नी च Natam param abhutyata. Na patni cha jatam param abhudyata na tallingam parishranta hidaya apragata svitihi nananda parisrita jatam param abhudyata Atam Ningam Barishanta Nitaya Pagatatihi Yashodananda Patni Cha Jatam Param Abhudyata Atam Ningam Barishanta word for word meanings. Yashoda. Yashoda, Krishna's mother in Gokula. Nanda Patni, the wife of Nanda Maharaj. Cha, also. Jatam, a child was born. Param, the Supreme Person. Abhudyata, could understand. Na, not. Tat Lingam, whether the child was male or female. Parishranta, because of too much labor. Nidraya, when overwhelmed with sleep. Apagata smriti, having lost consciousness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki ichha. Exhausted by the labor of childbirth, Yashoda was overwhelmed with sleep and unable to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Purport. Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva were intimate friends, and so were their wives Yashoda and Devaki. Although their names were different, they were practically non-different personalities. The only difference is that Devaki was able to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had been born to her and now changed into Krishna, whereas Yashoda was not able to understand what kind of child has been born to her. Yashoda was such an advanced devotee that she never regarded Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but simply loved him as her own child. Devaki, however, knew from the very beginning that although Krishna was her son, he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vrindavana, no one regarded Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When something very wonderful happened because of Krishna's activities, the inhabitants of Vrindavana, the cowherd men, the cowherd boys, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda and the others, were surprised, but they never considered their son Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes they suggested that some great demigod had appeared there as Krishna. In such an exalted status of devotional service, a devotee never forgets the position of Krishna and intensely loves the Supreme Personality of Godhead without understanding his position. This position is called Kevala Bhakti and is distinct from the stages of Jnana and Jnanamai Bhakti. Om Jnanant Mirandase Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshuram Litamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale श्रीमते जयप्रताक स्वामी इति नामने नम आचार्य पादाय नतायक उपपदारण्य गौरक्तव्रम्भ नगर ग्राम धारण्य नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत कथाधार स्वसादि गौरव भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। See, today's class would take off essentially from where we left off yesterday. In that, we saw Krishna was born with a 200 form in Vrindavana, Mother Yashoda, while he was born with the 400 form in Mathura with Mother Devaki in Kamsa's jail. We saw that yesterday, and Keshavi Mataji explained this concept very nicely. Now, especially when we are new to Krishna consciousness, these kind of concepts are pretty bewildering. But we need to understand just one line from the Bhagavad Gita which Krishna quotes. And I'll quote just that one line so that we are not deviated elsewhere as to how to be able to understand these kind of bewildering pastimes is Janma Karma Jame Divyam. That's it. His activities and his birth are transcendental. They cannot be equated in terms of our material knowledge, which we understand with science and logic. Those kind of concepts got to be kept to the side. And we have to follow what our acharyas, especially Srila Prabhupada and the senior acharyas in our parampara, have given us as to how we understand these kind of bewildering pastimes. Janma Karma Chame Divyam, that line says it all when we read these kind of pastimes, especially when we find Krishna, when he was just about 7 days old, he killed Putana. Now a child who is barely maybe 1.5 feet can kill a demon which is 20 kilometers long, 12 miles long, is what Srila Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book. I mean, it's something which we cannot relate to in this material world. But then again, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. That line says it all. With this understanding in our at the back of our mind, today's discussion would focus on the kind of a relationship which exists between the devotee and the Lord, and how he reciprocates towards those relationships. This is going to be the focus of our discussion today. And Srila Prabhupada brings out two important points here from which will flow the discussion. One is Mother Yashoda was not aware if the child born to her was a boy or a girl, while Devaki was aware that Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was born in the 400 form. This is one point. The other observation which Srila Prabhupada makes, which actually forms the bedrock of our discussion today, is that Mother Yashoda was more advanced than Devaki, as she knew Krishna as only a small child and that she had to take care of him very carefully. Just like a normal, ordinary mother would take care of her child, see that the child does not get into any trouble, etc. That bhava was exhibited by Yashoda. And also all the Brajavasis, they never considered Krishna as something supreme, especially when we see the Damodar pastime. I mean, Krishna has lifted a huge mountain when he was just 7 years old with a little finger. It's impossible to comprehend. But then, when we see as to how the Brajavasis related to this pastime, they did not think that, yes, Krishna was Supreme Personality of Godhead, let us pay our obeisances. No, they thought that he was one of them. Okay, he has got some power, he is lifting the mountain. And then when the mountain started to wobble, they thought, okay, let me support him, help him by our stick or umbrella or whatever they were holding. I mean, it's just a common occurrence. And when did the reality strike them? When the rains had subsided, Krishna put the mountain down. Then he told all of them, okay, you can go home. When they were going home, then the reality struck them. Yes, this is something great. But even at that time, they did not think that, yes, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. I thought, yes, he must have had some powers by which he was able to do this. Of course, they consulted Nanda Maharaj, and then the rest of the pastime follows. Now, this loving relationship which the Brajavasis exhibited, which Yashoda Maiya exhibited, this is the kind of a relationship which Krishna absolutely revels in. I mean, he loves this. He relishes this. Rather, when we worship him in awe and reverence, yes, he does reciprocate to a certain extent. But then, when we think that, yes, he is one of our own and then we've got to take care of him, that is when he likes that relationship very much, and he reciprocates. We shall see how he reciprocated. And this kind of a relationship could often bewilder the normal layman. And why do we talk of layman? Even Brahmaji was bewildered when Krishna was having the prasad with all his cowherd friends, and he wanted the buttermilk which Madhumangal had drank, and it was in his mouth, and he just did this and all the buttermilk came into Krishna's mouth. Brahma was watching, bhaiya, what is happening? This small boy, how can he be Krishna? We should not get into that kind of a trap, because Janma Karma Chame Divyam. This is all transcendental, and we've got to be guided by Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas. What they say is gospel truth for us, so that we don't get into the kind of an equation which Brahma got into, used his own mind, did something else which took him into a different trajectory altogether. And this kind of a relationship, I would like to share with you a personal incident which I witnessed about 15 years ago. I was very sort of new to the movement. I had attended maybe a few classes, and then I was called by my Shiksha Guru and other devotees. We were living overseas, and we went to a house where we saw a sannyasi who was about to abhishek to his two deities, Kanai and Balai. Very cute looking altar, the way he was reciprocating with the deities, he was always talking to them, that is, they are there. We could see he was talking to them. When he wanted to give them the bath, he had a small bucket, filled it up with water. He had a small immersion heater, like the ones which we use, which is about a foot long. He had maybe that immersion heater was just about 2 or 3 inches long. He connected it, he heated up the water, he felt the water whether it was adequately hot or not too hot, gave the abhishek. Then one Mataji had brought some coconut laddus for offering as bhoga. She had made it in a hurry. Unfortunately, the laddus were not properly made. He really gave us a class at that point in time that yes, this is not the way we should be. This thing. He rolled the laddus properly. He saw to it that yes, the laddus were not very hot. He blew on them. Yes, it was a small child he was taking care of. And at that time, frankly speaking, I did not understand this. I said, yes, this is something different happening, which I'm not able to relate. But today, when I think back on that, I could see the kind of a bhava which he was exhibiting. It was simply out of the world. Okay, there we saw a one-sided relationship. Now we'll see the reciprocation. And we know of this, quite a lot of us may be knowing about this pastime. Where Sanatan Goswami, he was taking care of his Madan Mohan deity. He was getting old. He gave this his deity to his disciple Krishna Das Brahmachari to take care. And at that time he used to walk the entire Govardhan Parikrama, which was even longer than what we would do now. I understand it's about 25 miles. And on top of that, he would offer 1,008 obeisances to Giriraj, Govardhan Hill, as well as to the Vaishnavas at 65. Frankly speaking, when I have to do beyond an X number of dandavats, I start thinking that, yes, I am also getting old. Then Sanatan Goswami was on a different plane altogether, with the result that yes, the Lord reciprocated. The Lord could see that yes, he is getting old, he is not able to do this, why is he torturing his body? And then understanding the difficulty, one day Madan Mohan said, Baba, you are getting too old. Don't take so much of trouble to walk around Govardhan Hill. Sanatan Goswami said, this is one of my daily activities of my bhajan. I must maintain it. Then the Lord said, okay, since you are old, you may now give up this vow. He just showed him an outlet. Starting to walk again, Sanatan Goswami said, I will never give up my religious principles. I mean, the Lord could see that, yes, he was firm, steadfast in carrying out his sadhana. So, out of love for the devotee, how did the Lord reciprocate? He brought one Giriraj big stone. He played his flute, and that melody melted the flute, with the result that the Lord's impression, the footprint, was encased in that Govardhan Shila, which is now kept in the Radha Damodar temple. So we see that the Lord's desire to please the devotee often, quite often, trumps the devotee's response, and the Lord is very, very compassionate. Like in that same Janma Karma Chame Divyam, he says that anybody who understands this will come back to my abode. No further birth in this. Now, this is an act of compassion. That yes, he gives you an outlet how you can get out of this very easily. Incidentally, last Sunday, I was at the very same Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. And I have with me here some tulsi leaves from that very Govardhan Shila. So I would like to share this with all of you once I finish this class. I am keeping it here, please, so that I don't forget. Similarly, Jiva Goswami, when he came to Vrindavan after his pastimes, after the Navadvip Parikrama and then studies in Banaras, he came to Vrindavan. He was a very erudite scholar, but then he did menial work for Rupa and Sanatan, who were busy in writing literatures. Afterwards, Rupa Goswami initiated Jiva Goswami and then carved a deity of Radha Damodar personally and gave it to Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami took that, the maintenance of the deity, the devotional service, as his life and soul. So much so that Radha Damodar reciprocated with him. How? When we offer bhoga in the altar, what do? We close the curtain, we ring the bell, and then yes, Lord has the prasad. Radha Damodar called Jiva Goswami, you please come here, you sit down. You watch me have that bhoga which is offered to me. And then after he is finished the bhoga, which has been offered by Jiva Goswami, he would play the flute for Jiva Goswami to hear. He would dance for Jiva Goswami. Actually, it is said, Acharyas have said, that the Lord is always playing the flute. Even Radha Madhava is playing the flute. Unfortunately, we at our level cannot hear that, cannot understand that. But Jiva Goswami was such an exalted devotee, he did seva and the Lord reciprocated. Similarly, Tota Gopinath. I mean, there are plenty of examples. I'm sure all of you know about the pastime of Tota Gopinath. You want to hear it or shall I carry on? Want to hear? Alright, okay. Tota Gopinath deity in Puri, very close to the Jagannath temple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that deity, which was found in that garden of Tota Gopinath, that garden, beautiful garden. And he gave it to Gadadhar Pandit and asked him to worship that on a daily basis. Here again, Gadadhar Pandit was getting old. And the deity is fairly long. And he is standing on a pedestal. And Gadadhar Pandit could not reach out. He could not put the garlands on the deity. He could not dress him properly. So he thought, okay, I'll entrust the devotional service or taking care of the deity to somebody else. He had done the service in such an exemplary fashion that Gopinath responded, no, I do not want to take the service from anybody else. I want the service only from you. He said, Lord, you are so high, I cannot even reach you. So what? Next day morning, see, you do the seva, you will see, I will find a solution for you. So that Tota Gopinath is the only deity in the world where the Lord is sitting down in this kind of a posture and he is playing his flute and at a height where Gadadhar Pandit could continue to render the service. So the Lord reciprocates. He is not made out of stone or paper or whatever. He reciprocates with the devotees to the extent they reciprocate. They render the service to him. Now we shall see the glories of Mother Yashoda, where she has been placed at a higher pedestal as compared to Devaki Mataji. This word Yashoda, it consists of two syllables. I mean, those of you who are familiar with Hindi will be able to get this. Yash and Da. Yash means fame and Da means to give. So what has happened here that Yashoda got this kind of a name is that she gave the fame to Devaki, whereby she was known all over the world, all over the creation in fact, that yes, she was the one who gave birth to Krishna. Whereas Devaki had actually given birth to the 400th form of Krishna, which is actually Narayana. And in all fairness, it was Mother Yashoda who gave birth to Krishna. And as Keshavi Mataji related yesterday, the 400th form of Krishna came to Vrindavan from Mathura and merged in the deity, and then the swap happened between Yogamaya. Now, how do we know that yes, Mother Yashoda is at this level? See, like in this text, Ete Chamsa Kalapunsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. That is, all the other portions who are not the 200 form, they are the plenary portions or the expansions, is what is mentioned here. Ete Chamsa Kalapunsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Hence, the 400 form of Krishna being born to Devaki is the Narayana form, later on merged with the 200 form of Krishna, which is the original Krishna. However, the fame of giving birth to Krishna was seeded, was given away by Mother Yashoda to Devaki. That is how that name corroborates. Yash means fame. Da means to give. So she gave the fame of having given birth to Krishna. Yashoda has given it to Devaki. Now, we shall see as to what is the background of these gopas and all those cowherd boys, brajabasis, when they are having their intimate pastimes with Krishna. What kind of a background do they come from? How did they get to come to this position? How did they get this Sukriti? Bhagavatam explains in the 10th canto, 12th chapter, 11th verse, Ittham satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam param devatena mayasrittam naradarakena sakam sakam vijaru krita punya punja. Srila Prabhupada translates this. It's a very long translation, but then Prabhupada conveys the exact sense of what is the kind of a background all these gopas and gopis are coming from. All the boys would be differently engaged. Some boys blew their flutes and others blew their bugles made of horn. Some imitated the buzzing of bumblebees and others imitated the voice of the cuckoo. Some boys imitated flying birds by running after the bird shadows on the ground. Some imitated the beautiful movements and attractive postures of the swan. Some sat down with the ducks sitting silently and others imitated the dancing of the peacock. Now you would see that all these kind of pastimes are what small children would enact. Srila Prabhupada continues, some boys attracted young monkeys in the trees, some jumped into the trees imitating the monkeys, some made faces as the monkeys were accustomed to do, and others jumped from one branch to another. Some boys went to the waterfalls and crossed over the river, jumping with the frogs, and when they saw their own reflections in the water, they would laugh. They would also condemn the sounds of their own echoes. In this way, all the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna. So this is what is there, this thing, the activities. And now comes the main thing. In this way, all the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence for the jnanis, desiring to merge into that effulgence, who is the supreme personality of Godhead for devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and for ordinary persons is but another ordinary child. The cowherd boys, having accumulated the result of pious activities for many, many lifetimes, were able to associate in this way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can one explain their great fortune is what Prabhupada ends this with, this translation. So these Brajabasis and these cowherd boys, they are not ordinary souls by any sense of measurement. They have performed these kind of devotional service for hundreds and thousands of years to be able to finally come to this stage of rendering pure devotional service. In fact, earlier on Krishna mentions that Devaki had performed pure devotional service for 12,000 celestial years to be able to come to this position of being able to give birth to Krishna. So these devotees whom we are reading about, they are at the highest rungs of devotional service. Of course, we should not imitate them. We should try and work our way towards that under the guidance of our spiritual masters. Because without that, we could be getting into all kinds of troubles. Spiritual masters, shikshakarus, we should be in their guidance all the time and aspire to come to that level. Now we've seen the kind of relationship which the devotees exhibit towards Krishna. Now what Mahaprabhu is going to explain is about the effect of Misra Bhakti. That is when the bhakti is diluted by other garma, jnana, karma or Aishwarya. Actually, it is explained that in Vaikuntha, the opulence of one particle of dust is greater than the opulence of the entire Vaikuntha planets. I mean, it's difficult to believe. Then the question may arise as to why we are not able to see that opulence. That can be explained that now it's a daytime. The sun is out, at least today it is not out, but then yes, its force is visible. The sunshine can be felt. But the stars are always present in the sky. In the night sky we see those stars, those small tiny shining stars. Now they are always there, even now they are there, but then we cannot see them only because of the effulgence of the sun. Similarly, in Vrindavan, we are not able to gather the opulence, even that one particle of dust, because in Vrindavan it is only one factor which is prevalent, and that is the love for Krishna, and that completely overshadows all other aspects. This, the love which Brajavasis exhibit for Krishna, it overshadows all these opulences. And that is why Srila Prabhupada explains that yes, that is what we should try for. So each dust particle of Vrindavan is Chintamani. So this kind of a relationship which we were talking about, I mean, that was displayed in the Govardhan pastime, where the Brajavasis, they did not feel that yes, Krishna is something, I mean, he is supreme personality, we should pay obeisances. No, Krishna absolutely loves it when the Brajavasis consider him as one of their own, that yes, they take care of him in that fashion, or whosoever does, he reciprocates. Now we'll talk about the paradox of the progress in Krishna consciousness. I heard this somewhere, I thought I'll just share this with you. when we come into the movement, we are totally ignorant about Krishna. We do not know who he is. Yes, we think that yes, especially we coming from Indian backgrounds, we think that yes, he is another god. We have 33 crore of them, and then yes, he is one of them. And then as our Shiksha Gurus take us through the process of devotional service, we come to know that yes, the focus is on Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are coming to the second stage. Once we cross that stage where we have transcended all material equations in life and our only sole focus is Krishna, there again we become ignorant. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We get to know hardly anything about him. There is only one thing which prevails, which overshadows all other considerations, and that is love for Krishna. How you serve Krishna, how you render service. So you started off in ignorance, you got knowledge, and then you again become ignorant. It's a paradoxical thing. And Srila Prabhupada explains that yes, when you get on to this third stage, that is definitely at a very elevated stage. So it is explained in the Bhagavatam. Of course, I don't know the exact sloka, that there are two kinds of people who are in total bliss. The ignorant, one who are ignorant about Krishna, and one who are ignorant about what his position is, they are only serving. They are in total bliss. But it's the ones in between that get into trouble. The people who are stuck in between these two ends, they are the ones having a little bit of a difficult time. We've got to work our way through by the grace of our spiritual masters, by how our Shiksha Gurus helped us. At our levels, the third stage, we can only talk about these exalted levels and aspire that yes, maybe one day we all could get to that status. Now again, coming back to this concept of Misra Bhakti, Mahaprabhu has an important or interesting take on this. Mahaprabhu says, Shakale, I mean it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita 1.3.15, Shakale Jagate Mure Kare Vidhi Bhakti, Vidhi Bhakti Vraja Bhava Paite Nahi Shakti. I mean, anybody who can understand a little bit of Bengali, they'll be able to get the meaning. Prabhupada translates this as, everywhere in the world, people worship me according to the scriptural injunctions, but simply by following such regulative principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiments of the devotees in Vraja. And especially that love which has been diluted by Aishwarya Gyan, he says, absolutely not done. Okay, we can work our way through it, but then, and how did he bring, I mean, Mahaprabhu had done this pastime here itself with Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta, as we know, he was a doctor and he was into all kinds of activities. He was having prasad one day, and Mahaprabhu came and passed urine on the prasad and told him, look, if you want to take prasad, take it pure. If you want to do devotional service, do it pure. Don't mix these two. And that is what Mahaprabhu wanted to convey. And Mahaprabhu adds that I have come here to give Braj Prem. Braj Prem, we have seen, is the highest. He makes a very startling declaration. I mean, I heard this for the first time. Of course, all of y'all who have read Chaitanya Charitamrita would have heard about it. He says that I have come here to give Braj Prem, which none of my other incarnations will be able to give you. It is only I. Mahaprabhu points at himself. He says, I will be able to give you that Braj Prem, which normally you would be able to get by following a Brajavasi, following in his footsteps, and who is in that pure mood of a Brajavasi. He says, Mahaprabhu can give. So all of us as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thanks to Srila Prabhupada for giving us this revelation, we have to follow in Mahaprabhu's footsteps. That yes, he can lead us on this path and one day transcend that limits of material considerations and get into the higher plane. From there, yes, the path is fairly well laid out. So devotional service, I mean, I'll just end now with this, this thing. Devotional service for Lord Krishna cannot be acquired by hearing lectures or giving lectures, reading, etc. But the Lord is pleased upon a devotee when he sees the kind of a service which the devotee is rendering. That is why Prabhupada emphasized this word devotional service. It is a verb, it is an activity, it is not something passive we can read about. Just like you cannot learn swimming by reading a book on swimming or watching it on YouTube. You got to get into the water, sink a few number of times, drink a little bit of water, come out gasping. Yes, you learn the process the hard way. Similarly, the devotional service. Now, a question may arise in the minds, especially when we see in a temple like this, we follow quite a lot of rules and regulations as to, like for instance, a simple thing. We offer bhoga. What do? We take a set of plates which we do not eat by our contamination, etc. We reserve that set of that plates where we offer bhoga to the Lord. It's separately reserved for him. Wash it clean, put the bhoga there, add tulsi leaf, put it on the altar, ring the bell and wait for the Lord to stay. So similarly, we have to get up at 4:30 in the morning, much before 4:30, come to the temple, attend Mangal Arati, do our 16 rounds and so on. Why do we need these kind of regulations? I mean, the question may arise that why can't we do it spontaneously? I mean, because we saw that yes, spontaneous bhakti is what would get us going. But then the acharyas explain, at our level, we have quite a lot of anarthas in my heart. And by doing Cheto Darpana Marjam and following all these regulations, we have to clean our heart completely. Right now, I mean, if we look at our mirror of our own self, maybe we won't be able to see our own self, excepting maybe for exalted devotees, Lakshmi Muni Mataji, Janani Vyas Prabhu, etc. Yes, they would be able to see their forms. For us, I speak for myself first, yes, it will not even be a blur, it will be full of dirt. Cheto Darpana Marjanam has to happen and there are no shortcuts for that. It is a process which has got to be undergone. These regulations, rules and regulations are very much necessary so that we can come to that platform about which we discussed in detail today. So, and of course, Mahaprabhu adds a very important point. How do we follow these rules and regulations? Tranadapi sunichena tarorapi vishna. We follow that, we are very humble. Mahaprabhu will take us there. Srila Prabhupada will take us there. Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji. I will try to answer, Mataji. I do not know whether I'll be able to answer.
You mentioned that there are two kinds of people that are in total bliss. Yep. Those that are in ignorance and those that are in the ignorance of
about
pure devotional lot. Service. So, but the material world is dukkhalayama shashvatam, and total bliss isn't really available.
I didn't get you, Mataji.
The material world,
yeah,
is dukkhalayama shashvatam, temporary and full of misery.
That's right.
So someone who's living in the material world, how can they be in total bliss, even if they're, I mean, everyone in the material world is in total ignorance pretty much.
Excellent, Mataji. I will only quote what Srila Prabhupada has said. He said, all my temples in this material world are actually in Vaikuntha. So if we are in these kind of temples, following these kind of rules, following Srila Prabhupada, what he has laid down, following what Mahaprabhu has said, even though we are here, yes, we are in Vaikuntha. We are making that progress. I agree that yes, the material considerations are all pervading here. But Prabhupada said that all my temples are not in this material world, although they are physically here, we are not able to see.
So
that.
You were referring to people living in temples when you said that there's two piles?
No, following Srila Prabhupada, whatever Prabhupada has mentioned, that yes, get up early in the morning, do Mangala Arati, all the other Arati, then read Srimad Bhagavatam on a daily basis. Follow the instructions of your senior spiritual masters. Keep Krishna in the center, especially for Grahasthas. Once Krishna becomes the center, then he takes over the control of the house. We follow this. And I have seen that in my own life, Mataji, that yes. I'll give you my own example. We used to conduct Bhakti Vikshas. My Shiksha Guru used to come to my house. He used to say, and it used to happen every Thursday. He used to say, please chant, please chant. I said, no, I don't have time. And I will do the chanting one round on that Thursday if the class happens. The rest of the days of the week, I will be busy doing my office work, reading newspapers, everything else excepting that. For 2 years it happened, but then he tried, persevered. He came to my house and said, okay, just do me one favor, open the door at 5:30, you go back to sleep. And when he is chanting in my house, I dare not sleep. So he has taken quite a lot of trouble to see that, yes, I also chant. And it has taken quite a lot of time. It's only because that mirror has only dust. It's taken quite a lot of time. Whereas I have seen in my own Bhakti Vikshas, afterwards I used to conduct absolute brand new devotees. They've not seen, done anything about Krishna consciousness. In 2 weeks flat, they are at 16 rounds and they are continuing to maintain 16 rounds. How? I took 2 years, he took just 2 weeks. So, in this material world, people come in all shapes and sizes, but then, yes, we owe a lot to our Shiksha Gurus and spiritual masters to see that, yes, we are on the right track. If not, at least I would not be, and I say this for my entire family, we wouldn't be here anywhere in Mayapur. So, it is just that buffeting that, yes, we do not stray away from the beaten path. That has helped us keep our moorings in Krishna consciousness. I don't know whether I've been able to.
I was just wondering who you were talking about when you said that those in total ignorance were in total bliss. But if you're talking about people who are engaged in devotional service, then Maybe we're in total ignorance, but we're following somebody who's not in
any
ignorance.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So. Now, here, let us understand that by the people who are in the middle. They undertake quite a lot of austerities. And I don't think so we can call this, especially at the beginning stage of undertaking those austerities, as something in bliss. The people who are not, they are sleeping soundly, especially on the Friday, which was the weekend in the Gulf, and the Sundays. They are there till like 8:39. But yes, we have to get up early in the morning. So they are in the bliss. The other extremes, Mother Yashoda is in bliss. It is only these people who are starting the journey who find it a little austere. But then thanks again to the Shikshagurus, they bring us back on track. Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for regaling us with such sweet stories and explanations. I have a question, which I also heard from others. Maybe you can help, maybe you can share your understanding. You mentioned these nice stories, how Krishna sat down for Gadadhar Pandit, and then he manifests as Govardhan.
Yeah.
And I think you have some Tulsi.
That's right.
So that Sanatana Goswami doesn't have to go around and make so many obeisances.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, I'm sorry, but Krishna could have just made them healthy.
Right.
Why not?
Okay.
Why was it easier for Krishna to sit down than just to snap his finger and make him eternally young or something? I mean, what would you say to such a question?
Long time back, I mean, I heard this when I was a small child. Indira Gandhi, who was our prime minister here, she went to UK, I don't know, with some university there. They honored her with a doctorate. And she had done no studies in doctorate, etc., to be able to deserve that. But then she had done other work in the political field, and she got that. So can I, sitting down here in Mayapur, aspire that? No. So to answer your question, it is entirely Krishna's free will. I mean, how he dispenses that. Prabhupada said that don't ask to see Krishna. Serve Krishna that he wants to see you. When he wants to see you, he can dispense his mercy in any way he wants. And that is something over which we don't have much of a call. So we have to depend entirely on the mercy of these Vaishnavas or on spiritual master or on Krishna. We cannot say that yes, we have a right to do that. I hope, Abhinay.
Thank you. Yes, that is pertinent. We cannot demand, definitely. That's important. At the same time, do we sometimes see that Krishna will, Krishna says he's protecting Krishna consciousness and so forth, but do we sometimes, like there are, it seems there are some yogis and there are some devotees who get amazing blessings from Krishna. So why doesn't he do it more often? Why doesn't he,
Right. The only answer is that it is entirely his call. I reiterate, we have no right to ask that, yes, I will do this, you give me that. It's not a barter. No, no way. I mean, it is entirely his dispensation, how he gives that mercy. We, from our part, cannot say that, yes, you did this for me. I mean, maybe two people do the same act, one gets the benefit, the other does not, we do not know what kind of an excess baggage the other person who did not get was carrying. By excess baggage, I mean to say the kind of an anarthas which he was carrying. Two people are not identical. I mean, you may be very advanced, I very far behind. We do the same act. You may get a better reciprocation, I may not. So the thing is, yes, Krishna sees, and he is full knowledge. As I heard, whatever he does, it is always right. It is not subject to any questions, especially with our tiny material brains. Krishna is always right.
Okay, as you were answering I remembered one comment from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, 2.3.17, Ayur Harati Vaipum San Udiyan Astan, this one. Yeah. He says, why devotees suffer? He says, it's not karma. He says, three reasons. If devotees suffer and die and whatever, get old, it's not because of karma, it's because Krishna wants to make them more eager. He helps them to get more eager. Three reasons: more eager for love, coming to him, then to protect non-devotional philosophies, and to protect the secret of bhakti from dishonest, unscrupulous, probable candidates. So there are. I just remember that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentioned some reasons why it seems that devotees are suffering.
Prabhuji, if you don't mind, what I would suggest is, if we can have this offline, because
the instruction
is that I want to finish by 9 a.m., so please, Prabhu, we can have this discussion offline. Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bom.